Scripture reading be coming from Isaiah 51, verse 6. Lift up your eyes to the heaven and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it die in like manner. But my salvation be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismantled.
You ever stop and think about what heaven will be like? You know, where is Jesus today? Where is he? Acts chapter 1, 40 days after the resurrection. Even his disciples was unclear about what was about to take place. Even still. If you start there and you look at verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the power of the Father, which saith he have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? They were unclear. They really thought that Jesus was going to set up his kingdom here and he was going to reign over it. And it was going to be physical and he was going to be here with them. And you can go on and read, I think it goes on down through verse 10 or 11 there. When they were standing there, Jesus went up into the clouds. Then there was an angel that asked him, why are you standing here looking up? Can you imagine what was going through their minds at that time in their life when they had been following Jesus and then he had been crucified, he had been buried, and he had raised, and they witnessed all that, and then here they stand and they see Jesus ascending up toward heaven. Where is Jesus today? A little boy was afraid of the dark. Bad afraid of the dark. His mama asked him one night, he was sitting at the table, told him to go out on the back porch and get my broom for me. He said, Mama, I don't want to go out on the back porch. It's dark. I'm afraid. She said, don't be afraid. Jesus is out there in the dark. Matter of fact, he's everywhere. And he will protect you while you're out there. The little boy, he thought for a minute, and he figuring this out in his head, and he said, are you sure, Mama, Jesus is out there? She said, yes, Jesus is out there. So the little boy, he got up his nerve, and he walked to the door. He cracked the door open, and he called out to Jesus. He said, if you're out there, will you hand me the broom? You know, a lot of people have a lot of different things in their head about Jesus and what's going on with Jesus today. And maybe we even question that in our life. What part does he play in our life today? You know, the Bible tells us that where two or three are gathered together in his name, that he's there with us. So Jesus is not only on the right hand of God, not only is he on the right hand of the throne of God today, he is here with us today. Nick texted me yesterday and asked me what I was going to preach about today. And I told him the title of the lesson is, Oh, How I Love Jesus. Can you really say that today? Oh, how I love Jesus. What is it that makes us love Jesus? Why do we love the Lord? Why? Because he first did what? First loved us. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, For God so loved the world, and we're part of that love there, every one of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why do I love Jesus so much? Because Jesus was willing to go to the cross and die for my sins. Little old me. Just because of me, he was willing to die for my sins. And that's why I love him. I love him because he's in heaven today, and John chapter 14 tells us that he is there preparing a place for us. And if he goes and prepare a place for us, he's going to come back and get us. That we can be exactly where he's at today, and that is in heaven. You know, he is our elder brother, he is our Savior, and we should love him that much. And not only do we want to come together and we want to worship God and we want to pray to God and we want to pray through Jesus. And the reason we pray through Jesus is because God cannot have anything to do with sin. Our Father in heaven, he can't see us and he won't hear us because of sin. And why I love Jesus so much is because of his blood that he shed allows God to see me and hear me, and it washes away those sins. And that's why I love Jesus. Because when we come together here this morning and we can pray to God, and we always end our prayers how? In Jesus' name we pray. Why? Because we're praying through Jesus so God can hear us. And that's what the blood of Jesus does for us. When we just got through a few minutes ago partaking of the Lord's Supper, we were remembering that body and that blood that was shed on the cross for our sins. When we sing songs, as Nick just led a few minutes ago, "Oh, how I love Jesus." Maybe a song that rings true to us, "All to Jesus I surrender." All the different songs that we think about when we think about Jesus, can you truly and honestly say today, "I love Jesus"? And I want him to be a part of my life. Not only do I want him to be a part of my life, I want him to be my life. Most everybody in here is a New Testament Christian. There may be some that's not. But most everybody in here is a New Testament Christian. In other words, what I mean by that, most everyone here has obeyed the gospel. They have been baptized for the remission of their sins. They have been obedient to God. They have allowed the blood of Jesus into their life and allow that blood to wash away their sins through their obedience, their repentance, their willingness to surrender all to Jesus. Most everybody in here has done that. But if you have not, in just a couple minutes, we're going to sing a song of encouragement, hoping and praying that you will this day surrender all. Surrender your life to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For those of us that are Christians, what is it about wearing his name? What is it about living that Christian life? What is it that I need to do in order to give God the glory, to allow people to see Christ living in me? How do I do that? What should I do day to day in my life? You know, it's more than us that's involved when we think about how we're going to live. Think about all the people this morning that's affected by your decisions. All the people that's affected by your decision. It goes a lot further than you, especially if you're married. It goes a lot further than you, especially if you have children. It goes a lot further than you, especially if you have grandchildren and you have family, and most all of us have family, and most all of us, I hope, have friends. And our decision that we make and how that we live our life impacts a lot of people besides just ourselves. Last Sunday, Wendy and I concluded 5 years of work here at Treasure. 5 years. This morning I was on my way to Atwood and I got thinking over the 5 years and think about what all has happened. You know, a lot of things have changed here in 5 years. It really has. We've gained some people, good people. We've had several baptisms. We have had several to be restored. We have had several to move and place their membership here. But we've had several to pass away and to go on. We've had a few to move off and go to college. faces have changed, different people have come and gone. I guess when I was thinking this morning, I never thought that I would still be here preaching 5 years, and don't say you didn't either. I really didn't think that, because when we come here, our thought process was come here and preach a year or so, and we knew that Jay was getting worse and different things were happening, and I never really thought I would continue to preach. I've tried to stop preaching several times. But I've been blessed. I've been blessed. What is it about this congregation? What is it about Jesus, and what is it about the church? For just a few minutes, I hope and I pray that you will think about what you do for this congregation. What can you do for your life, and what can you do for your family, and what can you do for this congregation? What do you want to be like? You know, if you go back in the New Testament, you look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the church in Jerusalem, the early Christians, they assembled on the Lord's Day. Verse 42 says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." You go over to the book of 1 Corinthians, the church at Corinth, they assembled every Lord's Day. Chapter 16 and verse 2, "Upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by in store as God has prospered him, that there be no offerings when I come." Church at Troas in Acts 20 and verse 7, "Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached to them, ready to depart the next day, and they continued his speech unto midnight." Early Christians assembled on the Lord's Day for worship. What was the draw? Wonder what the draw was when we think about the early Christians. What drew them to want to worship? What was it that made them continue steadfastly in what they had been taught? What was it that drew them to assemble? And you know, they didn't have the luxuries that we have today. Well, I don't need what I'm fixing to say, but I can walk close as I live. But they didn't have automobiles with air conditions and with heaters and different things. If they went to worship, they were on foot and they were going to worship. When they got there, they didn't have padded pews and air conditions and heaters and drinking fountains and ice machines and bathrooms and all the different luxuries that we have here. What was the draw, do you think, that they said, "We're going to continue to go on the first day of the week, and we're going to continue to worship our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ"? Wonder what it was that made them keep doing that. A few things I want you to think about this morning. I'm going to just say reasons why we should attend services. There's something that drew the early church, the early disciples, the apostles, the early Christians to continue in their path that they was doing. Here's just a few. Number one, reason why we ought to attend the service is that we show proof of our love for the Lord. Started off talking about the love. Oh, how I love the Lord. Or, oh, how I love Jesus. John 14 and verse 15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." James 4 and verse 8 says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." I love that verse because I like to think about drawing as close to God as I possibly can. You know, when you think about being close to someone you love, what is it that you have to do? Well, you got to spend time with them. You got to concentrate on that person, or in this case, concentrate on God in your life. Pray to God every day. Several times a day. Open this Bible and read it. Apply the things that you read to your life. And most of all, be wanting and longing for the day that you can come here and come with other brothers and sisters in Christ and worship our Father in heaven. And at that point, you're going to be drawing near to God. And I love the last part of that verse because it says, if we'll draw near to him, he will draw near to us. I think about a magnet. You know, we work on fire hydrants, and one of the things I've got on my trailer when we go work is a big magnet. You know why? Because as good as I am, I'm going to drop something down that hydrant sometime. And I don't have a 6-foot arm to reach down in there and get it. So I got a magnet, and I got a piece of rebar, and I got some duct tape, and on that trailer, I got it all taped up together. And the other day, I dropped something down in that magnet, or down that hydrant. Took that magnet, and I started lowering it down in there. You know, it wasn't long, you could hear it. I didn't even have to touch what I wanted to pick up. Nick, it was amazing. It got so close to it. That magnet was coming down, and that metal was sitting here. You look at this. That magnet coming down, and that metal was sitting here. There was a point when that magnet just pulled it right up to it. That's how God does us. That's exactly how God does us. If we will go in that direction, it's going to get to a point. Y'all look, it's going to get to a point where God is going to pull us up right there. And that's what that verse is telling us in James chapter 4 and verse 8. You draw near to me. You draw near to God. And he's going to grab you. And he'll be near you. Another reason I think we need to attend is that we show our faith. We show our faith. You know, it's popular for people to say today, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. But you know, when we think about showing our faith, we have to do it by our works as well. James chapter 2 and verse 18 says, also a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. It's so easy to say, I believe. It's something else, however, to live your life where people know that you believe. Read an article. I'm going to read it to you. It's about Piers Morgan. He was interviewed by Rick Warren, author of The Purpose-Driven Life. Morgan said this, that he believed the Bible was flawed and that we need an amendment to the Bible or need to compile a new Bible. Can you imagine, I don't know how many of y'all know him, I've seen him on TV several times. Can you imagine making that statement? First of all, just making the statement. Can you imagine next making that statement on national television where people can hear that and somebody's going to agree with you? That's the unfortunate thing. No matter what you say, if you say it to enough people, somebody finally is going to agree with you. That we need to compile a new Bible. You know, that's an example of corrupt thinking in our world today. That's an example that's changing so many people today. Just because the Bible does not go along with the thinking of the modern world that we live in today, people want to amend it or write a new one. Well, I don't mean to sound offensive, but if we're going to do that, let's just throw it away. Let's just not even have it. If we've got to go and change this, then we don't need it at all. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's so easy to say I have faith. It's so easy to say I believe. But whenever we have people that will sit and say we've got to change the Bible, folks, there's people that believe that. There may be people in here this morning that think that the Bible's a little old-fashioned. You may be thinking it's not necessary for me to come to church all the time. You may think it's not necessary for me to worship my Father in heaven. It's the very thought process that goes into people that causes them not to be near to God. The other side of that magnet thing that I was telling you about, when I pulled that rebar out of the hydrant and that magnet was on the end of it, when I pulled it out, you couldn't shake that thing off. But I reached and I grabbed it and I started pulling it, and it was a draw. It was. It was hard to get it for a minute. But you, Nick, the amazing thing, when you got so far away, it was so easy to just throw it on the ground. Be done with it. When we carry ourselves away from God, we're just like that magnet and that bolt. You can get so far away from God, there's no connection there anymore. And it's so easy to fall then. Third thing, we get to grow stronger when we attend. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 says, "As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that ye may grow by it." We need to be stronger. We live in a society today, we live in a world today that so many things appear to be evil, and they are evil. We need to be as strong as we possibly can. We cannot allow ourselves to get weaker when it comes to our faith. We cannot allow ourselves to get weaker when it comes to our knowledge of the Word. The problem is this, really. If we don't know the truth, and what I'm talking about, that we know the Bible, okay? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we're not strong and we don't know the Bible, A, we can't defend the truth, and B, y'all, we can be drawn away from the truth so easy. If you don't know what the Bible says, you'll believe anybody. If you don't know what the truth is, you're going off what somebody's told you to start with, whether it's me or whether it's David or whether it's Drew or no matter who it is. If you've never read and studied the Bible, you're going off what someone told you. And if you don't know the truth, even though you may have obeyed the truth and you're being faithful now, you need to study and you need to grow, because it's going to be so easy for you to listen to somebody else. And when we don't attend Sunday night and Wednesday night, our classes. You know, the best class in the world is not any good at all if nobody's here. You're not going to gain a bit of knowledge if you're not sitting in the class. And I apologize, I don't mean to offend anybody. But we can have the best speakers and the best teachers and the best class, the best material, best preparation that we could possibly make. And what we miss when we're not here is the opportunity to grow and have our knowledge be where it should be. You know, we miss the opportunity to support the truth when we're not here, to encourage others. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth." You see, what that verse is telling me is that there is a way in which we live. There is a way in which we teach our children. There is a way in which we teach our grandchildren. And what I want more than anything else, not only for my kids, and I can honestly say this, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, not only my grandkids, but all these kids here in this building, and all the children that's in this community, and even in the whole world, what I want more than anything else for all these children is to have the strength of the church on their side. Because it's so easy to fall. It's so easy to give in to Satan, because he's coming at us with everything he has, and they need that strength. And the best way we learn how to live is by being here every opportunity that we have. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 26. When we miss fellowship and we miss encouragement, and we need that. We need that. We need to pat each other on the back. We need a hug every now and again. We need a handshake. We need a smile. And we need to know that when we come together, like on Wednesday night, and we pray together, that when hopefully 100 people are here Wednesday night and we all say amen at the same time, that we can rest assured that God has heard our prayers and that we had unity with us when we did that. Look at those verses with me. It says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves as a manner of some is, but exhorting, urge strongly is what that means, exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Verse 26, for if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for our sins. Some do forsake the assembly. Some do. Some make a decision that I don't want to go. Some people choose other things over worship. I'm not talking about sickness. I'm not talking about Miss Margaret Barlow. I'm not talking about Miss Mothanelle Reed. I'm not talking about people that cannot get up and be here. I am talking about people that make the decision and say, I'm just not going. That we choose to put something else over that. And unfortunately, there's a lot of things that can come before God today, and the world's promoting it. I'm not going to pick on anything in particular. But back when I was a kid, school events did not take place on Sunday and Wednesday nights. And now they do. Ball games are being played. Different things are taking place. And unfortunately, parents, we've got to compete with that to try to persuade our children to come to worship God. Talking to somebody the other day about sports. They asked me if I ever regretted playing. I said, well, the older I get, the more I regretted I played as much as I did. Because of my knee and my hip and all the aches and pains. And I don't know if it had anything to do with sports or jumping out of airplanes or just being old and fat. I don't know which way it is. But as bad as my knee hurts some days, I wished if it was one of those sporting events, I wish I'd never played in it. But it was fun. The older you get, the better you were. But you know what's most important. You know where I'm going with this. What means more than anything else to us today is our relationship with God. Don't criticize the church. Love the church. The church is not perfect. As a matter of fact, it is a group of sinners that come together and they finally realize that they're nothing without Jesus. Isn't that what the church is? A bunch of sinners that obeyed the gospel and realized, I'm nothing without Jesus. So they came together and they obeyed the gospel. They became a member of the body of Christ. And now they meet together on the first day of the week to worship our Father in heaven. And that's really what it is. None of us are perfect. Are you faithful? Are you faithful? Is there something in your life that separates you from God? There's a magnet, and it's drawing you. That magnet is Jesus. And he's drawing you to our Father in heaven. You know, really and truly, a person has to fight once you get so far or so close to it. You got to fight to stay away from it. Because it's a whole nother lifestyle. You're here this morning, you're not a Christian. And if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you believe he came here to die on the cross for your sins, I don't know why you will not respond. If you believe that, I don't know why you will not respond, because if you're willing to turn away from the world, turn away from sin, confess that Jesus is Lord today, you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. You can meet the blood of Jesus today. And what a great day that is. Maybe you're here this morning, though, and you've been unfaithful, and you know you've been unfaithful, and you know that you're living your life, and you're not near to God as you should be, and there's something standing between you and your relationship with God. Well, I'm going to tell you, the blood of Jesus can take that away again. If you have something in your life that's private, take care of it privately. If you have something that you're carrying with you or you're doing in your life that you know that's sin and nobody knows it but you, then pray God to forgive you and pray him to give you strength that you can overcome it and stop doing it. But if you have something in your life that's public and it's hurt the church and it's hurt your family and it's keeping you from being the person that you need to be, come forward this morning, and we'll be glad to pray with you and for you while we stand and sing.